The CureCast is a non-profit fan-based podcast. Pretty Cure and related characters are produced by Toei Animation, Asahi Broadcast Corporation, and Marvelous AQL. Please support the official releases.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the CureCast, where the voice is the cure and the cure is pretty. My name is Redkun, I am British, and I enjoy watching magical girls befriend enemy combatants. With me today are the rest of the fresh CureCast crew. First up, coming from the other land of the rising sun, we have Ivanhoe.
Hello, everyone, I'm Ivanhoe, the extraordinary fanboy, and I forgot what I was going to say right now. Continue!
Okay, continuing, next up, we have the guy who puts the cure in Kirkun. Kirkun!
Hey everyone, I'm Kyle, also known as Kirkun on the LiveJournal community, so yeah.
Fantastic, and last but certainly not least, you might know her as Mignonette. I'd like to welcome Miss Ash.
Hello everyone, I usually go by Hosase-san on LiveJournal, but that's such an old name. But you can call me Mignonette.
Mignonette. I'm so glad I've managed to pronounce that correctly. I was like, oh no, it's French, isn't it? I really wasn't too sure, but I'm glad I managed to pull it off. Okay, so for this, this is going to be a pretty short cast. We're going to have Freshly Picked, where we're just going to review the last couple of episodes that have been airing of Pretty Cure. And then later on, we're going to have the Ultra Happy panel, where we're going to be discussing a recent topic. So let's get stuck right in to Freshly Picked. The last two episodes that aired were episode 9 and episode 10. Episode 9 was the compulsory, we have to take care of the baby episode. Joe Okoda dumped Ai with the girls so he can go view a rare accessory, and hilarity ensues. Meanwhile, in an unrelated subplot, the soccer and the baseball teams are arguing about who gets to use the field for morning practice, because apparently those two different sports use the same field. Everybody, what did you think of the episode? Ivanhoe, would you like to go first?
Sure, why not? So, episode 9. And to be honest, when it comes to Doki Doki, I'm still on the fence, because the show is still going through the introductory phase. I mean, that's usually the first 12 episodes,
so
I feel like the show has yet to really reach the status quo, to say something. So, this episode in particular, it's filler. It's definitely filler. But is something... I really feel that this is an episode that it was necessary. We were going to need this episode eventually just to properly introduce the character of Aishan. Though I do think that they did introduce her a bit late. Like, I was expecting her like three episodes ago. So right now it feels a little odd to just add her to the cast. As for the subplot, it was really silly. I actually enjoyed the Monsters of the Week. That is actually something I've been really liking about the series, the Monsters of the Week. They're incredibly silly to watch. They're not deep at all, but they're so fun. Yeah, and that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, the fight in this one was really kind of... The way that they did the fight scene at the end, where they took the monsters on at soccer and baseball, it was incredibly silly, but it was also really good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really creative. Yeah.
It was really, really good. And I like what you say about this is kind of like the first episode where we see how Ai fits into it, because she's been showing up since the first episode, you know, in the opening credits. But this is the first one she's really had a chance to kind of see where we are, see what the cast is like with her in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cast.
And she's the power-up, apparently.
The chiffon of the season.
Yeah, aren't all the little babies and stuff, little mascots, usually are the power-up bringers?
Like Chiffon from Fresh.
Yeah.
She was the power-up, technically.
Yeah, she was. That was the thing I was wondering about. Because, well, there was a season before Pretty Cure started called Ojimaju Dorimi, and there was a season where they took care of a baby, Hana-chan, who had magical powers. And then you've got Shifon, who's got magical powers. And now you've got Ai, who's got magical powers. So the question I'd like to put is, why is it always the psychic babies?
I wouldn't know. I guess, again, maybe Hana-chan was, I guess, so popular that... Mm-hmm. I mean, she even gets an older form in Dokkan,
yeah.
And I guess the whole thing with the psychic babies, or having a psychic baby that can cause trouble, of course, is carried on to Pretty Cure.
I hadn't actually thought of that, because Hana was a really, really popular character. She ended up being in 3 seasons.
Yeah.
And then of course Shifon comes along and has kind of been the resident psychic baby for quite a long time. But it's just like a baby usually gets into so much trouble. It's like, why do they also need psychic abilities on top of all that?
Yeah, well, I actually chalked that up to, I'm not sure if it's directly correlated. The whole deal with the babies with psychic powers, I think it's related to Cyborg 009 and old anime and manga. Mm. Because they have a character in there who was a baby with psychic powers. I don't know if it's related, but I can see it.
I hadn't actually thought of that, because Cyborg 009 was a really, really popular manga. Wasn't it an Ishinomori manga?
Yes, it's an Ishinomori manga, and had an anime adaptation like 10 years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's had a huge... That was huge and just had such a huge effect on Japanese pop culture at the time. So maybe, yeah, that would be a bigger influence on it since then. Though Cyborg 009 is a bit darker than Pretty Cure is.
Yeah, I think it's totally. Cyborg 001. Yes, that's the baby.
Mm-hmm, okay. Moving on, Kyle, what did you think of Episode 9?
Well, like you said before, it's the episode where, like, you need to introduce the new baby character, and of course she's going to get into trouble. But also, like, the fairies had a bit of, well, I wouldn't say character development, but they got more screen time than they had in any previous episodes before, so I'd like that. But I'd say that Ai-chan right now, she's a bit annoying to me. Because she can't really do anything, and I'm waiting until she actually helps out, which apparently might be in the new episode that's coming out.
She sort of helps out at the end of this episode, but it's really just a my head glows and then you all move super fast kind of thing.
Yeah, that's just one of her random powers, I guess.
And Shifon powers. Yeah. We should just call them Shifon powers, because it's just your head glows. Good things happen.
And the thing with, like, the popularity of baby characters in, like, well, concerning Precure's series aimed at little girls.
Yeah.
It might be more of the, they want to market towards, like, I know it's popular for little girls to, like, play house and everything and take care of a baby. So that might be one of the reasons why the baby characters are so popular always.
Oh. I'm fine with baby characters and such like that. I'm just like, here, Cindy, you don't want to take care of a regular baby. You want to take care of a psychic baby.
Yeah, buy it.
The ideal family unit, psychic baby.
Well, it's also because Precure's a magical girl show, so they have to justify the reason as to why the baby character's in the show in the first place.
Yeah.
I like what you said about the fairies, and I think this is the most screen time the fairies have had in quite a while. They got separated for a little bit in, was it episode 7, was it?
Yeah.
But this is the first time where they've actually had a bit where it's just the focus is totally on them. And I'd like to see more from their personalities, to be honest, because right now it's kind of hard to tell them apart.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who feels that?
Yeah.
No, I feel that way too.
And we need more baby.
I mean, Davi's cool because, you know, she's a character on her own right because she's also Makoto's manager. Lance reminds me of, what's her name from Heartcatch Precure? The yellow one from
Potpourri?
Itsuki?
No, the fairy, the yellow fairy from
Oh, yeah,
Pocket.
That was Potpourri.
Potpourri, yeah, she reminds me a lot of Potpourri from that. The not just in person, not just in looks, but in personality as well. The other two, I really interchangeable. I found.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out their genders.
Yeah, I think.
I don't think fairies really have genders.
No, they do. Well, in this show, they do.
Lance is supposed to be male.
Yeah.
I know that.
Oh,
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, and Charlie's
a girl. Of course, Dobby is supposed to be a girl.
A girl, yeah.
And then Raquel, actually, I think is a boy because it was mentioned in one of the latest episodes. At least that's how it was subtitled. I'm not sure.
Gender's a weird thing with the Japanese language, though, because they don't have a lot of gender pronouns. So, yeah, and even the kind of gendered first-person pronouns are a bit... There's a bit of a gray area in there.
Yeah, one thing I noticed was that depending on what subbing group that you choose, like they either call like Sharuru, like the pink fairy, they either call him or her as Charles or as Cheryl, and that's
Charles.
That's confusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because one's male and one's female. Yeah, I can see that. I think it's supposed to be Cheryl.
It seems like
yeah. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Charles because of the reference to the deck of cards and everything. Apparently,
is that like a deck of cards thing?
In I think it's the French deck of cards. The king, queen, and jacks of the different suites have names, and they took the names from those suites.
Oh, that's really interesting.
That
would make a lot of sense because they really have a lot of good theme naming going on in this season. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look that up now afterwards. So maybe it is Charles then. Okay. So last up, I mean Ash, what did you think of?
I think it was a cute episode. Before I watched it, it was kind of weird, like, oh, it looks like a filler. Like, is it skippable? And, like, people say, like, no, don't skip it. You're not allowed to skip it. So, I mean, I gave it a watch, and, like, it was a cute little filler. I mean, it kind of, like, showed more of what Ai-chan can do, and, basically, she's a psychic baby. Like, here's her causing havoc. But I also liked the battle where it was, like, the soccer selfish guy and the baseball. And then the Cures had to, like, fight against them using, like, baseball moves.
Yeah, using baseball and soccer.
Yeah. And of course...
It reminded me a lot of, like, the DX3 movie where they like get put into the game world.
Oh yeah.
And so they have to do like baseball and whack-a-mole and all that kind of stuff.
I really like that part from the DX3 movie. That might have been my favorite part.
It was my favorite part as well. So I was really happy to see this redone again, even though it was a little bit goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we were all kind of agreed that it was a bit of filler, but there's nothing inherently wrong with filler.
It's good filler.
Yeah. No, it's good filler.
Yeah, especially since Doki Doki's been really hard on the story, especially in the first 10 episodes so far.
I'd like to see more story from them, but I don't mind a filler every so often just to kind of reestablish the status quo, as you were saying. Alright then, we'll move on to episode 10 then. Episode 10 is a Rika-focused episode. When Makoto transfers into Mana and Rika's school, Rika begins to fear that her friendship with Mana is being threatened with Makoto's presence. Meanwhile, in a completely unrelated subplot, the head of Makoto's personal fan club really wants to be her personal friend. What did you think of the episode? We'll start from the opposite this time. So, Ash, what did you think of episode 10?
I think it was an alright episode. Like, it showed more of, like, Rika's personality. And, like, she really cares for Mana. And, like, when you see Mako come, like, transfer to school. And then, like, Mana has to help Makoto, like, ease into the school life. And then... Rika, I mean, I could understand where Rika is coming from because, yeah, I've been there, done that. And the thing is, like, the battle was alright, but I think it would have been cooler if Rika was the one that gave the death blow or the love blow.
I could not agree with you more on that. I mean, a problem that I personally have had with Doki Doki is that there always seems to be this kind of disconnect between the fight scenes and what's happening with the rest of the plot. Because, it's like, as you say, it's a Rika-focused episode. Why can't she get the final blow in this one? Yeah, I mean, there was a bit of team play between Rika and Mana, but ultimately it was just setting up Mana to sort of take the final blow at the end.
Yeah, and that, and, like, it was kind of weird that Rika transformed first, and then, like, Alex was just sitting there, and, like, until Makoto and Mana came up to them, and then they all three of them transformed. I thought that was very weird, and I don't know.
Yeah, I do agree. I was not a fan, personally, of that fight scene. One of the reasons was because it was just basically super move, super move, super move, super move, and then the enemy is down. But also, there was just so much more they could have done to sort of tie the fight scene into the rest of the plot. For example, what would have happened if, say, Cure Heart and Cure Sword had shown up, and then they work really well together as a team battling against the monster, and that seems to confirm Rika's fears that, oh my god, these two guys are working really well together, it's kind of pushing me out of the way.
Yeah.
Then, of course, Cure Diamond steps in to save the day and such. They could have done so much more to kind of just tie all in, because the battle shouldn't be just an afterthought, it should be part of the plot as a whole. It should be the climax of the plot, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, what they could have done is maybe have, like, when, like, to have Cure Sword and Mana, like, work together, like, well, not their super moves, of course, but, like, they can, like, both fight the sheep. And, like, Riga would be like, oh, crap. And, like, so, but then, like, maybe they can switch it up to, like, where Mana has to work with Riga to take down the enemy, and then that would have been, like, better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. So what about you, Kirkun? What did you think of episode 10?
It was nice to see that Rika got character development and focus on this episode. I have to agree with the battle about how she should have been the one to purify the selfish at the end. And the super move after super move did remind me of Smile. And that was one of the main things I hated about Smile, was that they, in the fight, there was no actual fighting. It was super move after super move. And then it was usually Cure Happy, thank you. Who finished off the Kanbei at the end. And this is kind of what Doki Doki is shaping up to be, with Heart finishing the selfish episode after episode after episode. But focusing more on the episode itself, rather than just the fight, I did like the conflict that Rika was having with her seemingly losing her best friend to the new super idol transfer student Makoto, and I also really liked Alice's small but noticeable character development when she also confirmed that she does feel jealousy as well, when she basically she was saying she feels jealousy towards Rika because of her relationship with Mana as well, and that the fact that they go to different schools and they're much closer friends.
Yeah, I really did like how the conflict with Rika wasn't overblown or anything, because I think a lesser show would have kind of had her do some kind of zany scheme to try and get in the middle of Mana and Makoto, but Rika just kind of internalizes it instead, just keeps it to herself.
And that's partially to do with what her character is. She's supposed to be the most mature out of the group.
She really does show it. She is, like, my favorite character in that. I thought Cure Sword was going to be my favorite character in it, but Rika's sort of taking the crown on that one. What do the rest of you guys think?
Right now my favorite characters are Sword and Rosetta, but at first I didn't really like Cure Diamond, like, because Rika is kind of like, I thought she would have been like a wet blanket, like, oh, no fun allowed, whenever. And, like, but then again, like, I'm starting to like her down-to-earthness, like, oh, man, I can't believe this is happening. And then she kind of, like, freaks out.
Yeah. She's kind of like the Rin of the group, isn't she?
Yeah.
From Yes. She's the kind of a little bit less sarcasm.
I can't say anything on that because I haven't seen Yes.
Oh, okay. No, Rin was the kind of, if Nozomi, the main character of Yes, was the kind of, yeah, let's do it, Rin was the voice next to her going, are you crazy? You've never done that before in your life. Can you look at this realistically?
Okay, I get it now.
Mm-hmm. And Rika's really good, like, when she's like, don't accept, like, this guy's a stranger. Why are you accepting weird trinkets from a stranger?
Yeah, that's kind of realistic to, like, how Ryopin would probably act, like, when, like, oh, I got this little trinket from this weird stranger guy. And then, like, no, you don't take stuff from strangers. You're crazy. You never do that.
Yeah. What about you, Ivan? Do you feel the same way about Rika, or you have another favorite character?
Well, Rika, well, so far I'm not really into Rika or Alice right now. It's kind of weird. I guess they just need more development or screen time, generally. I like her, but there's not too much to like about her right now.
Aww. I think there's a lot to like about her. I think she is the most down-to-earth of the four so far, and that's really nice.
I think she's actually had the most character development out of the four.
Yeah.
Except with Makoto being second, because you had Rika, she was in episode one, you got a little bit of her character then. Then in episode two, it was all about her being, like, trying to get Mana to open up to her more. Mm-hmm. And then you had this character-focused episode on her. So other than Makoto, the other two haven't really seemed to have had that much character development. Like, Alice has had the least amount of character development out of all of them, I would say.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I hope she gets a focus episode soon, because so far, like, me, I like her, but so far she doesn't have much content to her. Like, she's the rich friend who had the helpful butler in on it, and then, like, she can, like, bring the cures to wherever places they need to fight and stuff. I mean, I hope I see more of her backstory and maybe some kind of negative thing that part, like, a negative part of her personality that she needs to work on, like how Rika had jealousy and then Makoto is kind of, like, naive about how the Earth, or how Earthlings, how they live their lives and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they've kind of hinted at kind of a dark side for Alice, because, I mean, the episode where she becomes a cure in the first time, they focus on, oh, she learned all these martial arts, but she became horrified by herself because she thought she was going too far. Going more into that would be good. I don't want her to overcome that right away, because I think you get a lot of mileage out of something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially since she's been playing, like, in the fight, she's been so defensive so far, with her attack being, her Rosetta Wall being, like, just used Blame. As defensively.
Yeah.
I really like her Rosetta Wall. I think it's, I mentioned this in the first podcast, but it's got the potential for a lot of interesting things, because with Cure Mint, for example, she just had a shield, but all that would do was just, she'd erect a barrier and things would smash against it and that'd be it. Whereas with Rosetta, she's a bit more mobile with it, so I think she could do some more interesting things, like reflecting projectiles back
at the enemy. Yeah,
that would
be cool.
Yeah.
But I hope she gets an offensive attack maybe later on in the series.
That could be an offensive attack, depending on exactly how it works.
Yeah, true. Because I remember with Cure Mint, like you said, she had that mint barrier, and then I think in 5 Go-Go, she had, like, Emerald Saucer, which was an offensive move.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it might be the same with Rosetta, depending, Like she has a defensive mood, but like you said, she's more mobile. She can probably reflect projectiles back, and who knows, she might get an actual offensive move that she throws energy balls out at the enemy.
That would probably happen around the mid season. If it's happened this season, it would happen around the midpoint, like where they get their power up items and stuff.
Well, actually, the next episode, episode 11, the title of it is "Awaken the Precure's New Power." So
that I think that's going to be a team attack.
Yeah.
That's just my intuition. That's going to be their team attack. But like, what I mean by mid season, I'm talking about like the cure sticks from Fresh Precure and like the princess forms from Smile Precure, etc., etc.
Because I think it's honestly like too early in the season for them to all have new individual attacks. So I'm thinking, yeah, it's probably their group attack.
Unless it's Sweet Precure, which was just absolutely ridiculous with handing out new powers every few episodes.
And then they'd only use them once or twice. And
they only use them once or twice.
Except for in the finale where they went through every single attack that they had.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. That took like, 10 minutes of airtime? Are they off Namek yet? No, it still has 5 more episodes.
Still more attacks.
The Kamehameha that takes like 3 episodes to like charge and then like 5 episodes.
Oh yeah, the spirit bomb that took like 20 episodes.
And then didn't work. If I remember right.
I guess you could compare Sweet to the amount of like attacks that they had was a little too much. But like Smile also had the princess form that you mentioned. It wasn't more of, it was a power up, but they only used it for a group attack.
Yeah, it was essentially an attack, wasn't it? More than a power up. Well, the one thing I did like about Sweet and how they did their attacks was the whole we can only use it once and then we get exhausted thing. They kind of dropped it later on, but I thought that was a really interesting way of doing the magical attacks. I'm sad that Doki Doki doesn't have something like that.
Yeah, and then we were talking about how it's too early for like them to have individual attacks in Doki Doki, but in Fresh, didn't they get their power-ups, like the cure sticks, didn't they come up around episode 11 as well?
Yes.
Hmm.
Was it episode 11? Was it that early? I thought it was a little bit later.
I think Peach got her first one in episode 8, actually. She got her
episode
cure stick.
Episode 8, was it?
Yeah. It says Peach got her Peach Rod in episode 8 when Chiffon was in trouble.
Wow. That's a lot earlier than I thought it was.
And I'm guessing like the that Barry and Pine had their sticks like in 9 and 10 episode 9 and 10.
Actually, Pine didn't get hers until episode 13, and then Barry was last at episode 17.
Okay.
Yeah, because I remember Barry actually has a plot line where she's like, the other two guys have their power ups, why don't I have my power up?
And I really liked that one. That was a great episode. I thought
it worked really well for her because she was kind of the perfectionist of the group as well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one episode in Fresh where like she had to choose between being a precure and being a model, and I remember this one scene where she's like waiting in this waiting room and like she sees the news thing where like, oh, the precures are in trouble, blah blah, and then she like runs out of the room and then she like transforms into Barry and like she decides like, oh, I'm gonna be a precure. Because at least
that was a really good
one. Because at least she became a model at the very end of the series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, to steer things back to Doki Doki, what did you guys think of well, first of all, Ivan, what did you think of episode 10?
I can't remember because I was laughing the whole time.
You were what the whole time?
I was laughing.
Oh, you're laughing.
Yeah, it was a really fun episode. It had some really, really odd moments. My favorite being during the final battle, right after the Selfish appears. And, like, what was it? Alice and Rika are just watching the monster and talking about each other, and Rika has her epiphany, and the monster is still rampaging in the background, and they're doing nothing.
It's like, no, that's a magical girl trope, though. It's like, just be over there while we have a nice little conversation, and then we'll get back to you later.
Yes, but they usually do that after they transform. Like, they become pretty cute, they start fighting, and then they have the epiphany. But no, this time they were just civilians watching a monster wreck the park while they were having a personal moment. Like, come on.
That actually reminds me, there was an episode of Futari wa Pretty Cure where Nagisa and Honoka are having an argument with each other, or they've basically fallen out with each other, and they have the rest of their argument while they're fighting a monster.
Oh man!
Precisely, that's how they do it.
Yeah, at one point the monster literally rears up going to strike them, and they both turn to the monster and go, "Would you shut up? We're having a very personal moment here." Punch in the face.
That was a really good way to handle the fight that they were having. I just watched that episode about 2 weeks ago, so it's still fresh in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So which episode was that?
The episode eight. Where like Nagisa and Honoka were having a fight.
I mean, what number?
It was episode
eight?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. I think it was episode 8. It's one of the really early ones where they're just establishing their friendship.
Yeah.
And that's actually, right after that fight, that's when they really become friends, if I remember correctly.
Because before then they were kind of, well, I don't really know you, but I'm going to work together with you because we're superheroes kind of thing. And in 8 they actually fall out over it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good episode.
It's a good series. It's a really good series. Okay, so to go back to Doki Doki again, we got quite a bit of Makoto and Davi in the episode as well. What do you think of those two? Like, the combination of them?
Well, honestly, I think they work alright with each other because, like, it seems like Davi is, like, what comes up is, like, Davi would say what Makoto's thinking. And, like, Makoto's like all flustered and like, oh, don't say that yet. And basically, Davi is kind of like helping Makoto express her feelings to the others.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of two characters from a series called Kamen Rider Denno, Yuto and Deneb. Because you've got Yuto, who's like this like really cold, cool loner who likes to project himself as this like cool guy. And then you've got his partner who really wants him to get along with everybody. So while he's being all, I don't care about you guys, Denim's going, he doesn't really mean that. He really does want to be friends with all of you.
And you know what both of Makoto and Davi remind me of? They remind me of when Kira Muse was masked and they got Dodori.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to mention that myself, yeah.
Yeah, like Dodori would mention what Muse would want to say to the other cures, and I haven't gone through like much of Sweet to figure out if she does that, like when the unmasked Muse, the real Muse, like I don't know if she would like say what Muse was thinking of it, later in the series.
Yeah, no one was really quite sure about that for a while. I mean, there were theories that, okay, like, Cure Muse isn't a real person and Dodori is, like, doing some kind of astral projection sort of thing. I think later on, they're really vague about it, actually. All they say is, like, Cure Muse left her thoughts with Dodori, so They were still really vague on whether Dodori was speaking her thoughts telepathically or if it was a case of, okay, I'll just let you speak on my behalf. Do you guys remember if they actually did anything more than that?
I think after Akko was revealed to be mused, I think Dodori stopped speaking for her, which I didn't really like that much, considering, like, Dodori would always say what Muse was thinking, and they still could have gone more with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was still really a really nice way of going about it. I really do like the sort of the interaction between the two of them. I think they make some really good partners. I would like to see more of Dabby's adult form as well. Not that I don't like fairies, it's just that when Dabby's in her adult form, she seems to get more character development.
Yeah, that's true. And I wonder if the other fairies, like, even though like they're like really young, they were born and then sent to Earth, I was wondering if they would have human forms too, maybe at the very end of the season. I don't know.
That would make a really good episode, I think.
Yeah.
Like, Dabby teaches them how to obtain a human form.
Yeah, and maybe, well, the way it would probably work is something like, oh, you can take a form, but it will only be for 2 minutes at a time. Or they transform and they can't transform back, and so they have to come up with a way of... Because they can't transform back, they can't transform into the phones, so they have to figure out a way to...
That would be an interesting plot for an episode,
I would like to see something like that. Plus, you know the fan artists would absolutely love to see human forms of...
Oh yeah, definitely.
...the fairies.
Yeah. I remember Candy turned into a human, like, at the very end of Smile.
Royal Candy.
Yeah.
That was really unexpected for me.
It really was. It was one of the few pleasant plot twists that Smile had, considering Smile did not have a lot of plot twists in it.
But it did raise the question, like, when Candy became human, I'm wondering if they will continue with that and make a lot more fairies in the future attain human forms.
I would like to see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe once in a while. I wouldn't like to see it like all the time. Like, we've only had... Yes, I'm pretty sure the fairies become humans because of Milky Rose and all that. Mm-hmm. Then we had Smile, and then Doki Doki. So that's three of the series in total that have fairies becoming humans. So if they keep it uncommon and have it only like every other series or so, I wouldn't mind that, but I definitely wouldn't want like every series to have one of its fairies turn into a human form.
Keep it special is what you're saying.
Yeah
I can totally see that. I think Heartcatch also had that as well, but it's a little bit of a spoiler to go into more detail about that.
Oh yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I remember now.
Yeah, I remember like at the end of Fresh, like, I was kind of, like, surprised that, and like, this is spoilers, of course, since it's at the very end of Fresh. I was surprised that Infinity didn't really have a form different than just Chiffon, other than the eyes.
I think it was more a case of that Infinity was more like a concept, if that makes sense, and so it's like, oh, Chiffon is the form by which you can understand such a thing.
Okay.
So,
I think I just realized the symbolism of that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a form you're comfortable with sort of thing.
And also, like, she's a baby, so she's a blank slate. In terms of philosophy, it'd be tabula rasa, which means, like, she's a blank state from birth, and so she has an infinite memory, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of what they might have been going for. I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas right now.
No, it's an interesting theory. Yeah, certainly. I think it's a little advanced for the audience that they were going for, but it's certainly an interesting theory to go about it.
Yeah.
For the adult fans.
Actually, when you really think about Fresh, that is one of those really unique shows where it seems that all of the magic is actually really, really advanced technology. I mean, even the Precure seems to derive her powers from Chiffon, who is in itself technology. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah. I hadn't actually thought about it like that. Because, I mean, we've never really had a kind of... It's always been a magical show, Precure. There's never really been any hints of technology, so to speak, unless you count the fact that the fairies take cell phone forms.
Yeah, but, maybe. Well, just thinking about the main enemy, Labyrinth, that is 100% technology, especially the Nakewamekis.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that would might be an interesting topic for, like, a future Ultra Happy panel, I think.
Taking notes?
Just the magic versus technology kind of, well, how magic and technology figure into Pretty Cure and stuff. Put it down in notes, pass it on, maybe the next podcast will do something like that.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Ultra Happy panel, I think it's about time that we should move on and go on to that. Right. In recent days, as you should all know, an image of the supposed fifth member of Doki Doki Precure emerged, with a searing red and yellow colour palette. Now, we're all pretty sure that this is a fake, but, you know, extra Pretty Cure members aren't exactly a new thing. I mean, we've had Shiny Luminous, Cure Passion, Cure Sunshine, and more others. So, let's talk a bit about extra members in Pretty Cure, and also the what-ifs with this new member. Do you guys want there to be a fifth Doki Doki Precure? And if so, who should it be? Let's start with Ivanhoe. What did you think?
Well, personally, I like extra characters, but in the case of Doki Doki, I sort of don't want it to be one, because I really like the four people team formula, so I'm really not looking forward to just add a fifth member, because, well, even when you look at Cure's Ward, she perfectly fulfills the role of the outsider to the group, so they don't really need another one of those by adding a new member.
Though I will say to that, though, by the time, well, a new character usually shows up around the mid-season, and wouldn't Cure sort of become integrated into the group by that time?
Probably, yes, but she still has this independent air about her. Like, the other three do give you an air that they are a main team of three, since they are friends, but I mean, if you add a new Cure, that kind of takes the magic away from Cure's Ward. That's what I feel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want her to remain the outsider for the rest of the season, is what you're saying.
Yes, the cool purple outsider, yes.
Yes, that's where I do like her as the cool outsider. What about you, Cure-kun? What do you think? Would you like another fifth Doki Doki Precure?
I'm actually convinced that it is not fake, and I'm pretty sure it is real.
Oh, okay then.
There was a recent image of keychains that are coming out, and they left a red heart keychain blank Cure should be. So that might be where this new fifth Cure is supposed to go in, like, the toy catalogs and everything. But we'll have to wait until the actual catalogs come out before we get confirmation.
That's true. The reason why I was saying that it was probably fake was because, well, for one thing, with rumors and stuff like that, you've always got to take it with a pinch of salt before the official confirmation. It's good to chat about it like we're doing right now, but as far as like confirming that it's happening, I don't want to do anything like that. Secondly, didn't you think the color scheme was a bit horrible? Off.
Yeah.
I don't mind the yellow on red color scheme. It's she does look mostly red, but we only see like above her chest area. We don't really see much of her outfit, but I don't mind it. It looks okay.
And fair point to you. The color scheme might be a little off as well, because I remember before Smile Precure came out, there was a picture of some merchandise where the colors looked all weird. But because that was a piece of merchandise, and that was just the way that the colours had been printed, and the actual colours that were in the show were much different and much more pleasing to the eye. So it could just be that if this is the official fifth Doki Doki Precure, then it's the red on yellow is going to look a bit nicer.
Yeah, and talking about if, like, she'll take the place of Makoto as, like, the outsider, I don't really see that happening. I see it more as Makoto's already more integrated than this new one will ever be, because she's been there since the first, like, almost the first episode. She's been in the human world she's gotten used to some things. She still has troubles with, like, cooking and getting used to school and everything. But by the time this new one will roll around, she'll be too integrated to call her a lone soldier. Like, you already see her, she wanted to work with the other Cures from the very beginning. It was shown that she just didn't want to, like, her feeling, she didn't want to let her feelings get the better of her, or something like that. But, I don't mind having an additional Cure. In fact, it's a good plot, like, something to further the plot further. I like additional Cures, like, Sunshine and all that.
It is, I agree with you. I mean, when it comes to an extra Cure, that's a plot line that's already paced out for you. I mean, you've got the longer plot lines, like Cure Passion, which is over several episodes, but even if it's just a quick introduction, you've got to have this introductory episode, the first transformation, the how does she fit into the team, what is her team attack sort of thing. It's a really nice and natural progression, and I would really like to see more plot in Doki Doki Pre-Cure, just in general. So to have an extra Cure would... that there's a chunk of plot for you right there.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of the question, though, is who do you think it would be? Do you think it will be a new character or a character we've already met?
New character.
I think it might be Ai-chan, actually.
Might be Ai-chan. Okay, we'll come back to that and after we hear from Ash. Ash, what do you think about it, this?
I usually like new heroes being added, but I think the leaked image that might be a fake, it could be real, because I mean the art style is like very close, and like it looks like it's a camera picture, but I mean they had fakes that were kind of like that before, but like how a fifth one would fit in, maybe they could switch up and like she wouldn't be such an outsider. Maybe she I honestly don't know, but I don't know, I kind of like the chemistry the four current ones have right now. Mm-hmm. Like they need to work that out.
So maybe, you wouldn't want a fifth one in because you like the four as they are so far. You're basically agreeing with Ivanhoe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I mean, the four do work well together, and it's a nice number for them as well. Me, personally, I do think that the image is a bit of a fake, just because I just like take these things with a pinch of salt. Her hair also looks a bit like Cure March's hair, I think. So, or it looks, or Cure Sign, I can't remember, it looks a bit like one of the Smile Girls. So I was thinking, oh, maybe someone photoshopped it from that.
Cure Peace, almost.
Cure Peace, almost. Yeah, exactly. But saying that, even if the image is real or not, as I said before, I would like to see a fifth Cure, just because I think it would be a nice, good chunk of plot development. And I actually agree a lot with you, that Cure-kun, that I would like it to be I. I would like to see a plot line where sort of I grows up to be the fifth Cure. I'd like this to see this for a few reasons. For one thing, I'd like to see, well, if there's a rumor going around that I is Marie-Ange in baby form, and I would like to see the teenage version of that, especially considering how she is with Makoto, because I'd like to see Makoto and teenage version of Marie-Ange. I think there'd be a lot of fun in that.
Yeah
true.
Mm-hmm. Especially since it's like Marie-Ange is like her idol, and now you've got a more immature teenage version of her. I'm like, what was she like as a teenager?
There was an image posted recently that has a kind of future summary about what's going to happen in Doki Doki, and it says that I will get a new power up for herself. Mm-hmm. And it shows a little silhouette of a more childlike version of Ai, rather than her baby form. So she might actually grow up during the series.
Like 8 years old?
Yeah, I think.
would be pretty cool. Hmm. Like, every few episodes, she'll, I don't know, maybe kind of grow up a bit until she, like, at the very last stage, she'll, like, get this one last power-up, and then, bam, she's the queen of the Trump Kingdom.
Trump Kingdom again.
Hiding out.
Yeah, that would be really cool to see. And it's a natural plot arc as well, which, yeah, is a, it would be a great thing to see. Even if they do it a bit like Hannah-chan in Dokkan, you know, where Hannah grew up to, like, 10 years old, but if she used too much of her magic, she would revert to a baby for a while. Yeah. I would be fine with... If they wanted to keep Ai-chan in the show that way, I would be fine with that. Mm-hmm. But I really want to see an older version of her, just see her growing up and getting new powers along the way.
It would definitely make her different than Chiffon, because right now she's really too similar to Chiffon.
Yeah.
You're right. Right now she's basically a copy of Chiffon, and actually seeing her grow up would be certainly a marked difference. And also, I kind of agree with what we were saying earlier, that I don't really like Ai-chan that much. She's a cute baby, don't get me wrong, but psychic baby as plot device has been done before, and I really hasn't shown a lot of things that differentiate her from Chiffon, so I would like to see something done with... I don't want Ai just to remain the same until, like, episode 40 or something. I'd like to see something happen to her around the mid-season, preferably she grows up and becomes the fifth cure.
Mm-hmm.
They could do a lot with that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just in while we're still talking about extra members and stuff like that, what would be your favorite extra member in Precure? And when we say extra member, basically anyone who was not in the first, the cure wasn't in the first episode and gets added later on, we count them as an extra cure. So, like I say, Shiny Luminous, Passion, Sunshine,
Moonlight.
The one from Sweet, I can't remember. Cure Beat, that was it. Etc, etc. What was your favourite extra cure? What was your favourite extra cure storyline, etc? Let's just hear it. We'll start from the end again. So, Ash, what was your favourite extra cure?
My favourite extra member was Cure Passion. Because I just liked her little backstory and, like, how... She, like, I really liked how she started off as an antagonist, and, like, and then when she started, like, then she found out that she was a pretty cure, which was, I just think the whole story arc was really nice, and a nice change of pace, and then, mm-hmm. and then she had something, like, she, like, her emotions at that time was, like, as, and it was, especially that one episode, sorry if I'm, like, I'm all over the place.
No, but it's fine.
And I like that one episode where, like, she and Love go at each other, and then, like, and then right when they were gonna shut her down, like, she turns into Cure Passion, and then, like, she's like, mm-hmm. Oh man, what's going on? And then she, like, walks up because she doesn't know what the heck is going on, and, like, mm-hmm. It takes a little while for her to process it, and then even more time to integrate with Love and her friends.
Yeah, part of what I really liked about her is that the storyline didn't stop with her becoming Passion. Instead, it continues on. How does she change as a person from that? How does she sort of develop from not just becoming Passion, but becoming a normal sort of human being, quote unquote? And how does she deal with her previous life and what she's done in the past? You know, they didn't just stop with the redemption. They continued on with that. And I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, and I know, like, in the series, like, when she was Eos, or mm-hmm. like, I remember she didn't have those highlights in her eyes, but, like, when the episode that she transforms into a Passion, like, she suddenly gains the eye shines, and I thought that was pretty cool.
And there was a little nod to the animators there, because her eyes start as dull And as the series continues, they not only gain the shine in them, as you've mentioned, but the color that they use for her eyes actually gets brighter.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I don't really like Cure Beat, because I think they kind of, like, they took the whole heel face turn with Ellen or Siren or whatever, and, like, basically it's kind of like a similar rehash of Passion's storyline, because Cure Beat went through the same thing Passion did when she turned into a Pretty Cure. And basically, that's one of the reasons why I don't really like Sweet. Like, they could have done something different with her.
I really liked Cure Beat. I agree that it was very, very similar to what they did with Cure Passion, and I don't think it was as well done as with Cure Passion, but I really liked Cure Beat, and I really liked Saren as well. I preferred her as Saren before she became Ellen, to be honest. Maybe I just like that kind of antagonist. That's always, no pun intended, quite catty. Seriously, no pun intended. But I really liked her. I thought that the way that they did her Cure Beat storyline, you know, wasn't as effective, but still, she got in. It was surprising as well, because at that time, no one was expecting her to turn. And then afterwards, it was fun seeing her on the other side, because, like, with Cure Passion, they took it in a more kind of dramatic way, in that she was really quite depressed afterwards about all the things that I've done, can I redeem myself? And they just go in completely the opposite direction with Cure Beat, where it's kind of like, hey, I'm a human now. I'm going to be in a bunch of comedy scenes. I'm going to read books and dress up like a cowboy, because that's what humans do. She had her good points, is what I'm saying. And they at least did something. They did at least, even if you don't like Cure Beat, at least they did enough different things with her, so you could differentiate the storyline.
Yeah.
Also, she has an Ahojay that you can play like a guitar. That's amazing.
Yeah, I liked her little guitar rod. That was pretty cool.
It really was awesome. Cure-kun, who was your favorite extra?
In terms of plot, I would have to say that I really loved Passion's, like, whole, the scene where she died, basically, and then was reborn as a Cure. But I would have to say that Cure Beat is my favorite.
Oh, we've got a reversal of fortune here.
Dun-dun-dun.
Their stories were a bit different. Like, sure, you have the villain becoming an additional Cure, but, whereas Passions was more dramatic, and was more about trying to fight against her human emotions that were coming back to her, Beats was more about how she was remembering her friendship with Hami, and, there was more of a friendship element with Beat, I think, than with Passion. It was still there with Passion, of course, with, Love trying to convince Setsuna to, like, become their friend and everything. But, with, Beat and Seirain, she actually did turn against her friend, and she did, become evil. So...
And the scenes between her and Hami are pretty heartbreaking as well.
Especially when she finally realizes that she can't just disregard her friendship with Hami, and she calls out for her, and, like, she basically tells them not to. Like, she screams, and she's just like, don't hurt her.
And the rain's coming down, and there's just a crash of thunder, and it's so dramatic.
Yeah, and that's when she became Cure Beat. And I like how she was trapped in her human form because of that whole thing.
That was a shame for me, because I really, really, really liked the fact that she could shapeshift. And I wanted to see the kind of antics that she could get up to with her shapeshifting ability, only as a kind of only as a human, basically. Mm-hmm. For example, oh no, Kennedy needs to be in two places at once. She needs to be in the student council, and she needs to be in the baking competition. Quick, Saren, use your shape-shifting powers and hope that the plan doesn't fall apart.
That could have been really good plot, like, for episodes and everything. Now that you mention it, I'm kind of disappointed that they didn't do that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I get why they didn't, why they changed it, because, you know, it would have been pretty powerful ability to have, mm-hmm. but at the same time, there was just so much that they could have done more with it. And I do like the fact that Kennedy and Hibiki work out what Siren's tale is, like, one episode before it becomes irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we figured out what makes, that. We figured out that Siren always wears the same necklace whenever she transforms. One episode later, loses powers.
Wow.
Good timing there, guys. Really good timing.
Marvelous.
But, yeah, to get back to Cure Passion, though, I think the thing with her is I always took it as meaning that she wasn't kind of rediscovering what she meant to be human. It was more like she was raised in a society where human emotion really wasn't there at all. They really... Because do they imply that... I always interpreted it as she got born into that society rather than she was there and then Labyrinth took it over. Of course, Labyrinth did take it over, but she was born after this happened. So she was born and raised to believe that everybody is selfish and everybody is looking out for their own self-interests and you shouldn't trust anyone, anything that anyone says. And then love comes along and completely and utterly dismantles her worldview, which almost drives her to insanity at the same time.
Yeah, they didn't really specify a time frame for when she was, like, if she was born into the world or if she mm-hmm. was already a human when Mobius took over.
It could have been either, yeah, certainly. Especially since there was, like, implication that she got manufactured and stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
So she could have been, like, just created whole cloth.
Yeah.
We never know. There's for the fanfics and such. But it was really, and they really pull no punches with her either, because it's not a case of she rediscovers her human emotions and is like, oh, I've discovered what happiness is. It's more, I think I'm going insane. This girl is disproving my entire worldview. It's really, if you rewatch some of those episodes, it's really harsh what she goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just makes it even more affecting in the end when she changes. Okay, so... Ivanhoe, you're last up. Who is your favorite extra cure?
Okay. For starters, let me say this. I really, 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 really like Chiny Luminous. She's like my mm-hmm. favorite precure character.
Oh, just fantastic. Saying.
Yes, I love
okay.
her. That said, I actually really like Cure Passion as well. Like, as an extra character, I love Luminous, but as a cure... I also really like Cure Passion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of torn between those two. And now that you're talking about Cure Passion, let me throw you a bit of a trivia.
Okay, go ahead.
This last week, I was, you know, trapped inside my head thinking, and I came upon a realization that blew my mind. So recently, and by recently, I mean the last 3 months, I've been watching this show called Kikaider, that you may be familiar with. And right
yeah,
now,
I've heard of it.
I'm in the final arc of Kikaider 01, the second season. And mm-hmm. I have come to believe that Cure Passion is based partially in the character of Bijinder.
I don't know it well enough. Can you explain what that character is?
Well, yeah, this might sound familiar. The character of Bijinder, it's an android who was built by the evil group of the series called Shadow. But it's a bit complicated. The point is, she was built to destroy the main hero, 01. But 01, since he saw that she had potential to be good, installed a conscience circuit in her, so she had free will, and she had to choose between being good or being evil. And there, I haven't finished that arc, I'm halfway through. But there's a lot about her, the character of Bijinder, that is incredibly similar to Passion. Even the fact that her main weapon is a red harp.
Really? Yes. Is it a red harp?
Wow.
Yes.
Are you serious? It's a red harp.
I'm trying to find this. Oh yeah, she does. Yeah? She uses a red harp.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, yeah. I mean, Cure Passion's storyline per se, it's not that original. But I mean, like, put it out there. Cure Passion's story isn't really that original. You know, you've got the bad guy who's got a bit of, you know, feeling, you know, maybe turning good. Then the hero steps in to try and convince them to turn over. And then through fist fighting, they find their answer. But at the same time, it's a really, really well done version of that storyline. And that's the thing. I mean, whenever anyone says, oh, that's so cliche or something, cliches are cliches for a reason. I mean, something doesn't have to be original as long as it's done really well. And Cure Passion was... her storyline was done really, really well, as evidenced by the fact that all of us have voted her as our favourite extra Cure.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Though I will say Shiny Luminous is also amazing.
Continuing from where Ivan left off, mm-hmm. It's funny how we were talking about how Fresh is a series kind of based around technology, and then he mentioned that this character, Bajinda from... or Bajinder from Kikaider, kind of, like, Passion similar to her, and it's, I kind of find it funny that Passion would almost be similar to a character that was built as an android and everything.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Because they really were. Well, they weren't androids specifically in Fresh Precure, but that was the end effect, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if I can add something else that I was trying to get into. So the point I was trying to make is actually another thing I discovered about Fresh is that the transformation phrase, the change Precure beat up, is actually another reference to Kikaider. Which is why I think that Cure Passion is based on Bajinder.
Really? So what was the transformation phase in Kikaider?
There were three variations. The original character, Jiro Kikaider, he shout, change, switch on, 1, 2, 3. And then his successor, Kikaider 01, said, change Kikaider, 01. And finally, Bajinder says, change Bajinder, while doing a hand pose that is really similar to one of Cure Passion's. Actually.
Oh, wow. Now,
yeah, and also the switch on sounds similar to switch over as well, which was basically her transformation sequence. Yeah, I'd be interested to see who the writers were for this, because maybe it was a writer who either worked on Kikaider or just took heavy inspiration from Kikaider, because yeah, that's really interesting to hear about. Thanks for that trivia.
Yeah, actually, it's probably an inspiration thing because Kikaider is 40 years old.
Yeah, well, there's that, but also some people have been working in Tokyo for a long time, so that's what I was just thinking. So, but yeah, you're probably right. Probably taking his inspiration.
Yes, but if you ever have the chance to check it out, you should, because seriously, the Kikaider, I mean, Bajinder arc, is one of the highlights of that show, and seriously, her character is really, really like Setsuna. Really, I mean.
Oh, right. Do you have any advice on where our listeners can check out Kikaider if they're interested?
Nothing legal, because the show is licensed on the US. You can get official DVDs on generationkikaider.com.
Okay.
They are a bit expensive, but they are worth it.
Okay. Yes. And that's the official way to get them. All right then, so if you're interested in checking out Kikaider, we'll probably put a link or something in the description for this podcast, so you can click it and check it out afterwards. If you like Tokusatsu and you like Fresh Precure, maybe something you could check out.
Yeah, do it.
All right. Awesome. For myself, I mean, never actually got around to my favourite Cure. For me, I agree with all of you about Cure Passion, certainly, and I really did like Cure Beat as well. I do want to say stuff about Cure Muse, though, because I won't say anything to really spoil what happens, but I really like Cure Muse's arc in Smile Precure. It works really well as kind of the dark, mysterious outsider, and I really like her costume as well. It seems like such a shallow reason to like a character, but I really, really like her black masked costume. I think it's really awesome, and she was one of my favorite parts of Sweet. In general. So yeah, like, for your sake, Ash, I'm not going to spoil what happens, but I just really like everything to do with her arc.
Alright, I see. Yeah, I'm kind of behind, but Sweet, like, I only watched a few episodes, like, the first few episodes of Sweet, and then, like, I kind of fell by the wayside because I think I was still in college then, so I had, yeah, basically that.
It's a good series. I think it gets... It's got a little bit of a bad reputation, but then it came right after Heartcatch, so people had really high expectations going in. I think Sweet's got a lot of good things going for it, and Cure Muse is definitely one of them. Cure Beat is one of them as well, as we were discussing earlier. I think similar to Cure Passion, but they pull her off really well.
I'm just going to chime in quickly about Sweet again. I think one thing that people don't realize is that during Sweet, there was that big, huge, like, horrific earthquake and tsunami that happened in Japan.
Yeah, oh my God.
So
yeah.
I think they may have changed the main message in Sweet to reflect that in order
to
build up, like, hope and everything again for the little girls of Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember actually when the hurricane happened, there was a bit where they actually edited it. I think originally one character got stuck in water or something like that, and they changed it so he was stuck in flan or something more harmless. Basically changing from, oh my god, he could drown, into, oh dear, he's just stuck in pudding, essentially. But I did read in an interview that they changed the direction of Sweet after that happened. I'm not sure where exactly they changed it from and to, because Sweet ended up being pretty dark in places as well. So I don't know if it was meant to go even darker, or if it was meant to, I don't know, involve...
Well, it happened
more...
early in the season, so... Depending on the production process, it could have been anywhere between... It was probably around episode 15 or so, probably.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, no one really noticed any kind of obvious change in direction at that time. So, but that would be credit to the animators for doing that, if there really was a huge change in direction. I don't think anyone noticed it, and I don't think the show was any worse off for it. I think it ended up still being a really good show.
Yeah, I really liked it. I just think that it had a weak middle portion, but the beginning and the end was really good.
Oh, the ending, it gets insane at the ending.
Yeah.
Speaking of the tsunami, like, I remember Madoka Magica, like, I think they were, like, when the earthquake happened, like, Madoka, it was near the very end of the series. But they had to move the last two episodes like a month later. And
yeah,
they
postponed
some,
it a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and they had to edit a little piece of this episode.
Because
it showed, like, the civilians and, like, they're, like, huddled in this, like, in the safe place because it's storming outside in that episode.
Yeah, I think it was a lot longer than just 1 month. I think it was like 2 months or something.
I couldn't remember, but it was
It was an incredibly long time until the last two episodes aired. But then I remember there was a tweet from one of the producers who were basically saying, yeah, the hurricane sucks, but now we have 2 more months to actually finish the episode. Silver lining!
It was a month, it was about a month and a half.
A month and a half. I was watching Madoka at the time, so it felt so much longer. Especially since it was literally 2 episodes before the climactic end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why it felt so long.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that hurricane changed a lot of things. And I actually think that My personal opinion is that the events of the hurricane affected what Smile ended up being, because if you think about it, Smile was a very tame series, especially compared to Sweet. Nothing really that serious happened. It was very lighthearted, very comedic and such, and I actually think that was a direct result from the hurricane, because they didn't want to make something that would be really intense in the aftermath. And I think it's still affecting Doki Doki to an extent as well. I'm going to be interested to see what direction Doki Doki goes in, whether it's going to stay on the lighthearted path that Smile did, or if it's going to veer off a little bit more towards where Sweet was, where it's not super dark, but it's got serious tones and serious stakes behind it. But I think discussing Smile Pretty Cure is for another podcast, certainly. Yeah, we can go into Smile Pretty Cure on another podcast, certainly. Right now, I think it's a good time for us to draw to a close. So, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody who tuned in and has been watching us. I'd like to thank our panel today, Ivan Hope, Kyrkun, and Ash. Thank you very much to you three. You've been wonderful today. Thank you. I had fun.
You're welcome.
Oh, no problem at all. The next podcast will be in 2 weeks, and hopefully we'll have a schedule or something like that up, so you can check when the next cure group is going to be. We've got a Facebook, we've got Tumblr, we've got Twitter account and such. If you've got any feedback at all, please feel free to leave us a message. If it's just fan mail, if it's just you want to be involved in the show, or just anything at all, we'd love to hear your feedback and we'd love to get back to you. And we will catch you around next time. So thanks everybody, and see you next time.
See ya.
Bye. Bye. See you later.
In light of recent events, on behalf of the CureCast, please keep in your hearts the victims, both living and dead, of the Boston Marathon bombing that occurred recently in April. It happened after this episode was recorded and during the editing process and when this episode is released. We ask you to keep in your prayers the members of those families, as well as the members of the Pretty Cure community, be it LiveJournal or Tumblr or the internet in general, that live in Boston or were visiting Boston at the time, and keep them close to your hearts. Pray that they will be safe, or that they are safe right now. In these dark times, even as silly as this sounds on this community, we should learn from Pretty Cure that hope is what keeps our heroes going. So let us hope and be the hope to those personally dear to us, as family, as friends, as acquaintances, as classmates, and as fellow human beings. At this time, I ask, as the host of the CureCast, to spend time with the people you care about as much as you can, and keep the victims close to your hearts so that each living moment is a moment savored. Thank you, and I hope you have a wonderful day.